Well, good morning. I've got a music question to start this morning. It's an easy one, but which song, this is a question for you, which song that was originally written, it was written for Frank Sinatra, but it's been covered by artists as diverse as Shirley Bassey, Elvis, Celine Dion, Robbie Williams, and even Sid Vicious. Anyone know which song it is that was written? Which one? My Way, exactly, Maureen. It's a song, 1968 hit, I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra. He didn't write it, but it was written for him. The reason I mentioned this, I came across a news article which said that now in funerals, that My Way has become more popular to sing or to have a CD played at funerals than singing hymns. And in fact, I Did It My Way is now the top choice for funeral services in the UK, which is quite remarkable if you look at the words. Because the words of Frank Sinatra's song, this is his song, and now the end is near, I face the final curtain. It is in fact a song about the end of life. My friend, I say it clear, I state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've travelled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. You know, the sentiment of the song is that whatever's happened in my life, the ups and the downs, at least I had my own way. Which is a remarkable choice for an epitaph for anyone at the end of their life facing eternity. What a choice to sing. And of course, the fact it's top choice in funerals reflects the atheism that dominates our society today. But more than that, as a song to sum up a life, what it does, it points to a deeply held belief that I am master of my own destiny, that what I want is the most important thing in my life. And really, my life is just about getting my own way, as though selfishness were something to celebrate. How opposite, of course, to the message of Jesus Christ. There couldn't be a more starkly contrasting view of life between the teachings of Jesus and the worldview around us that it's all about getting my own way. Frank Sinatra and Jesus Christ are literally poles apart. Today I want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, particularly what it means for Jesus to be in charge of our lives. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are the God who made us. You are the God who redeemed us, saved us, put your hand upon our lives, and that you have got hold of us for your purposes and for your will. And today we ask, would you come by the Holy Spirit and would you open the eyes of our heart that we could understand, that we could see, that we could appreciate what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a new way and in a fresh way. Amen. So our topic this morning is all about obeying Jesus. And in speaking about obeying Jesus, I have to say, to be honest, that the word obey has got some baggage to do with it. I don't know whether you've seen the clothing brand Obey, but the clothing brand Obey, people wear hats or clothes that have this word Obey on it. And every time I see someone with a hat that says Obey, I kind of stop and have a second look. I think, what do you mean, Obey? Do you mean I should obey you, the person wearing the hat? Probably not. I've got to admit, Obey somehow has got some kind of negative connotations, as though one person's will is being forced on another. You must obey, like the Daleks out of Doctor Who. You must obey. Or like a dog that's trained to obey its owner. It sounds harsh. There's something in the word obey which sounds a bit harsh. But of course, whether obedience is good or bad depends is who is wanting us to obey them. And of course, God has revealed himself to be a God with a character we can completely trust. He is kind. You know, God is far more kind than we could ever imagine. When I set out, when I became a Christian many years ago, I had no idea how kind God was. And my experience of many years of being a Christian is God is so, so kind. He is so kind. If you think God is kind, God wants to reveal his kindness even more to you because he is remarkably, relentlessly, amazingly kind. God's also revealed the fact he's loving, that his sacrificial, giving, serving love is directed towards me. His sacrificial, serving love is directed towards you. You are the object of his love, and that God has our best interests at heart. John 3:16, that verse we love so much. God loved us so much that he gave. And God's attitude and heart towards me and you today is God is a God and he's here to give. His heart is to give. What an amazing thing. So when it comes to us obeying him as he commands us, in the context of what kind of a God he is, I want to suggest this morning that it's not as hard as it might seem to obey him. The other aspect of obeying God is really just a bit of common sense. If you think about it for a moment, that we don't know how to live our lives. I make mistakes. Have you made any mistakes in your life? I'm sure you have. Because we don't know how to live our lives. Because we didn't make ourselves, God made us. So God knows the best way we were made to function. And so in fact, it makes absolute common sense going to God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Because his commands are perfect for us. Plus the fact you don't know the future. What's going to happen this afternoon? You've got no idea. You may have got some plans. Hope they're good ones. But God knows what's going to happen today and tomorrow and the next day. We don't. So it makes total logical common sense for me to obey what God tells me to do. Because only he knows the future. We don't even know the possibilities. We don't even know. You may have got some great plans for the year ahead. You may think the rest of 2018, looking forward to it. Plan this, plan that. You've got no idea. I say that respectfully. You've got no idea of the possibilities of what God has got for you in this year. So obeying God makes total, rational, absolute common sense. As we read the Bible, we see that actually obeying Jesus is a crucial, foundational part of what it means to be a Christian. When you responded to the call of Jesus, when you said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, you signed up to not only him saving you from your sins, but you signed up for him being the Lord, the boss, the one in charge, number one, the one who's in the driving seat of your life. There was a guy who was in the church a few years ago. He moved a different part of London. And he said that when he got baptized, he always knew about God. But when he got baptized, he realized that it was like his life was like a car. Thank you, Pat. His life was like a car and he was in the driving seat, that he himself was driving his own life. But that actually he realized that he needed to say to Jesus, look, Jesus, I'm going to move to the passenger seat of my car. Would you like to sit in the driving seat? And that for him was the moment he said, right, okay, God, I'm going to go your way. And he got baptized. And that's what we signed up for. Look what he finds in John 15, verse 14. It says this. Jesus said, you are my friends. Jesus says, you are my friends. If you do what I command. So we're invited to be friends of Jesus. And we can be friends. Condition here is if we do what Jesus tells us to do. Also, the Apostle John had this amazing revelation, this amazing understanding of Jesus' love. He was the disciple who Jesus loved. He was the disciple who knew something of Jesus' love in a very special way. And this is it. So he explains what love is in 2 John 1 verse 6. He says, this is what love is. This is how we know we love God. This is how we know that we're loving Jesus. Is this? We walk in obedience to his commands. It isn't something mushy or sentimental. Our love for Jesus, we've been singing this morning about loving Jesus. Actually, it's quite stark. It's quite specific. It's quite kind of something quite chunky. It's my obedience, what it boils down to. And then Jesus spoke plainly to people who called him Lord. Many people followed Jesus. He had a whole series of this crowd that would go around with him. And people would shout out, Lord, Lord. He said this. In Luke 6:14, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I tell you to? She said, that doesn't just add up. You know, do you not see this? If you call me Lord, that means you're submitting to my lordship, is what Jesus is saying. Now, let me be honest. I want to obey Jesus. You want to obey Jesus or you wouldn't be here. You'd be out on Hampstead Heath enjoying the sunshine. So you're here because you want to obey Jesus. But do you know what? Sometimes it's not easy. I'm being honest with you. This morning I'm going to be honest with you that sometimes obeying Jesus is not easy. I'm not putting myself up this morning as some model of how to get it right. I was reluctant to talk on this topic. In fact, I've never talked in all my years on this topic because I think it's such a hard one. But I felt God put it on my heart for us today. And so together, would you journey with me as we look at some things, some hopefully things that will be helpful when it comes to obeying Jesus. I'm going to share some of my failures as well as some of the testimony. Because I believe that God wants us to obey him more than things we could think would be good to obey, to please Jesus. This lovely verse in 1 Samuel 15, it says, to obey God is better than sacrifice. You see, I could think, well, God, I could sacrifice this for you. I could do this for you. I could do this. God, look at all these things I could do. Surely these things will please you. And God says, no, actually, whatever bright ideas you've got to please me, actually, all I want you to do is to do what I'm asking you to. All I want you to do is to obey me. So we're going to look at five aspects of obeying God this morning. I'm trying to give a sort of paint a picture that will help us hopefully move into more of what it means to obey God. First aspect of obeying God, we're going to get the elephant in the room and we're going to get the cards on the table. We're going to say, actually, obedience is not easy for many of us. Not easy. We see right at the beginning, sometimes God asks difficult things. God asks Abraham to do a difficult thing. We're going to look at Abraham for a moment. The book of Hebrews tells us about Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says this, by faith, Abraham, when called by God to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So this story in Genesis, recounted in Hebrews, God spoke to Abraham, told him to go, leave his family. So it's a tough call. God said, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your family, leave your country, leave what you're familiar with, leave everything you know, everything you're comfortable with, your customs, your family, your language, all that you know. I want you to get up and I want you to go to another place. And I'm not going to tell you where it is. You just got to trust me. Wow, that's a big ask, isn't it? It's a big ask. I know some of us have had to move countries and some of us wanted to and some of us didn't. But we can you can see Abraham, he was asked by God to do a big thing. And right at the outset, we see the choice in obeying God is either my way or God's way. That was Abraham's choice. Abraham's choice was this, my way or God's way. What was he going to choose? He chose God's way. You know, 25 years ago, a long time ago, I had the opportunity to start serving here at New Life, working for the church. At that time, my life was heading in a different direction. I just finished a university course. I was doing a marketing course, an MBA, a business school. And before I'd started the course, my future lay in the business world. I had my goals, I had my direction, and suddenly there was this opportunity to work here at New Life. So, my initial reaction was no, thank you very much, because I knew what I wanted in life. I knew the direction I was heading, I knew the things, the goals that I wanted, and I was sure of my future. I was round at someone's house here in the church, and it was actually Monica's house, and I sat down on her sofa, and as I sat down, I had a cup of tea. As I put my cup of tea down on the sofa, as all good hosts, she had a coaster, you know, like a thing to protect the sofa. So as I put my thing down, as I was about to put my tea down, my eyes glanced down at the coaster, and it was a Bible. It was a Christian one with a Bible verse on it. And so as I'd read it, I don't think my tea ever got to the coaster. I kind of froze halfway because the coaster was Revelation 3 verse 8. And it says, see, I place before you an open door. And God just took that verse from the Bible and absolutely gripped me with it, spoke so clear, said this opportunity to work here in the church is actually, it's God has done it. God's opened the door. You've just got, and it's one of those things that I thought, well, God, whatever I want to do, you've spoken so clearly. You've said, this is the way. You've said, this is an open door. You said, this is what you want me to do. And so it felt almost like, imagine you're walking down a path and suddenly that road's blocked, going back's blocked. well, it looks like the only way to go is to go forward. And I must say that it's been a great blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you, but it's been a blessing to me over the years. But it leads us to the second aspect of obeying God, which actually obedience opens the door to God's blessing. Okay, imagine a door in front of you. Some of your situations you're in now can seem like a closed door. You think, God, how am I going to get through this situation? Could be financial, could be relationship, could be work-wise, could be whatever. This situation seems like a closed door. And on the other side of that door, God promises blessing. But we have to open the door and walk through what God tells us to. If I don't, I'm going to remain on the other side and I won't experience that blessing. Because God has tied blessing in our life to obedience. God has given blessing, so much blessing for your life. But it's on the other side of a closed door. And God isn't going to come and open it for you and say, after you. He's saying, there's the door, there's the handle. Reach down, open the door and walk through. Obey what he's asking you to do that you can go through to blessing. Now, we can see that in the life of Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 18. Because as a result of going through the door, this is what happened to Abraham. God said to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations will be blessed because you have obeyed me. In other words, he was saying to Abraham, because you've gone through the door I told you to, you left your family, you left your language, you left your country, you did what I told you, because of that, everyone on earth will be blessed because of you. Now, that's a very extreme consequence, isn't it? Abraham is a very extreme thing. Obviously, this is a prophecy about Jesus. It was the prophecy that in the lineage of Abraham, there would come an offspring, singular offspring, which was Jesus, who would open the door for salvation, for forgiveness of sins to all nations. Imagine if Abraham had said, no, God. No, I like my mum's cooking. I'm staying right where I am. I like the sunshine here in wherever he was, Haran, wherever he was. I'm not budging. But Abraham said, okay, God, you're telling me to go. I'm going to open this door, even though I don't know where it's going to lead, even though I don't know what you're going to tell me to do, I'm going to follow you. And God says, right, listen, because you have done this, I'm going to bless you. And not just you, I'm going to bless the whole earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? What consequence of blessing? When we open a door of blessing, not only does it bless our lives, but it overflows and blesses other people in your family, other people in your friends, other people around you, other people in the church. God has such blessing, but it always comes down to a choice. In fact, obedience is all about choices. It's like getting in the right lane of a motorway. So you're driving along in the motorway and you've got to get in lane. And the lane is God's way or your way. You've got to do something specific. You've got to move. God told Abraham what to do, and he had to make a decision. Now, we face many decisions. Even this morning, you had decisions what to have for breakfast. You had decisions what to wear. Maybe you got decisions about, am I going to have a holiday? What am I going to do? We face so many decisions. And God has given you intelligence, and God's given you willpower and choices. And you can choose. God's not saying every morning what you need to wear. You can choose what you wear. It's up to you. Many of the decisions we face are God's given us the choice. Fantastic. He's given us the ability to do that. But there are some choices where God has a specific thing he wants you to choose. Some things God speaks. And so we're aware of many things where we've got our choice, where we can do what we like. But there are some issues in our life that are vital. Because if we make that choice, we head down a path, which is then God's path. If we don't, we then head down a path, which is my way and not God's way. God speaks to us in many ways. Three obvious ways. First way, God speaks to us, where he speaks into our hearts. We get an impression. We get a sense that God's saying something. You just get a feeling. It's kind of a bit subjective, but you get a feeling God wants you to do something. There's a sense of what God wants to say in our hearts. And it's this inner sense. Yeah, many, many years ago, I'd just become a Christian. And I thought, serious Christians, you know what they do? They fast. So I'm going to learn to fast. I never fasted in my life. I thought, I'm going to fast. So I thought, what do you do? I read a little bit about it. What you do is you don't eat and you drink water. So I'm going to do that. So I started off in the morning. I got to about 9 o'clock thinking, cool, it's only 9 o'clock. Got to about 10 o'clock and pressed on. The water seemed to lose its appeal as we got to about 11 o'clock. By the time I got to 4 o'clock, I was crawling up the wall. Absolutely. I caved into chocolate and to coffee. Oh dear. I was a miserable sight. I couldn't pray for the next 2 days. I was in recovery. The sad thing was I tried it. I thought, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I want to be a serious Christian. And so I did it many times and failed and failed and failed. Sometime later, God spoke to me and God said, I want you to fast. And as he spoke to me, a grace came, an ability to came. And so I said, okay, God, I'm rubbish at this fasting business. We'll leave it to the Africans. They're good at fasting. I'm rubbish at it. You're going to have to help me. And God in his mercy and God in his kindness showed me how to do it. Gave me the grace to do it. It made all the difference. See, when God speaks, he doesn't say, okay, here it is. It's cold turkey. Get on with it, guys. If God's speaking to you, he gives you the grace. If God's speaking, he gives you the help. God speaks to us directly. God also speaks to other people. God speaks through people in the church. God speaks through something you hear on the internet. God speaks to your family. God speaks through someone at work. God speaks to people who aren't Christians. God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. Goodness, God can speak through anybody. God can speak through anybody. I'm not talking about going to people for advice. I'm talking about when someone says something, and maybe they're not even thought about it, but you just suddenly think, what they said there really strikes me. What they said really seems important for me. I came to this church here about 37 years ago. When I came to London, I came to London for 6 months. I'm going to stay in London for 6 months, earn some money, and then I don't like London, I'm off. I'm only here for a short time. God spoke to me and said, this is your home, get settled, this is your place. And so, I decided to make my home here in London. After 7 years of doing what God says, after 7 years of being in London, my job was taking me away from London, outside of London. So I made plans to leave London, go and live outside London, go and live somewhere else, join a new church, go and move away. Just as I was making my plans, someone in the church just was sharing something. And they were just talking about God building his church. And just something they said struck my heart. And God spoke to me through them. They spoke, but it was God's words. And I don't think they're even aware of it. I'm sure they're not aware of it. But what they said just struck me. I thought, God, that's God speaking to me. And I realized that actually God had told me, stay here, I'm building you here, this is the place I want you to be. And so I changed my plans, I changed my job, I settled here, and I've been here ever since. But the important thing is that God can speak through other people. And we've got to be humble and open and listen. I'm not talking about, let me emphasize, I'm not talking about going to people for advice. I'm talking often when they don't even know what they're saying, but just something comes. Can we have hearts where we're open to other people for his guidance? And lastly, most importantly, God speaks through the Bible. The psalmist in Psalm 40 verse 8 says this, I take joy in doing your will, O God, for your instructions are written on my heart. The psalmist had learnt the Bible. The psalmist had learnt God's instructions. The psalmist knew the Bible so that inside the psalmist knew the words of God so that God could bring them with joy and help them. The Bible is a fantastic, it's the main way God speaks to us. Can I encourage you, whenever you read the Bible, have an ear to God. I know it sounds an obvious thing to say, but I find sometimes I can just read the Bible and see what the passage is saying and see what it's get into. Actually, maybe this morning, as I'm reading the Bible, God has some direction for you for your life. There's something God wants to say to you specifically. If I could just open my ear and listen to him, God, would you give us that heart to hear? Now, sometimes it's easy to do what God says. Sometimes it's very hard because wants us to give up something to go his way. It always comes down to Frank's choice. By Frank, I mean Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, it's always my way or God's way. And so the thing is that often I think that my choice is going to make me happy. And I'll be honest, there's times I've thought, God, I want to do this, I want to go this way, because surely that's going to be the best way. But actually, this is my testimony this morning. After nearly 40 years of being a Christian, what I can say is God's way is always, always, always the best way in the long run. Because at the time, you might not see it. So at the time, you think, God, this doesn't really look like the best way. God, you told me to do this, but I don't really kind of see this. But ultimately, as time reveals, God's way is always, always, always the best way. That's my testimony. Okay, we've looked at two aspects of obedience. The third aspect of obedience is this. God wants us to do what he wants fully and not pick and mix. Years ago, I used to go to take my children to Woolworths, which is a store on Kentish Town Street. They've closed now, but they used to like a little bag, and they used to pick and mix the little bits of sweets, whatever the toffees, the things that they wanted. And God's will, I'm afraid, isn't to pick and mix. There's an account in Numbers 20 where the people of God were in the desert. Moses was the leader at the time, and God spoke to Moses and told him that they were thirsty. There was no water in the desert. So God said, speak to the rock and I'll give you some water. Numbers 20 verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, take your staff and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded. See, Moses was told to do something. Sometimes God tells us to do something very specific. Sometimes God is very specific what he wants us to do. And God said to Moses, go there, get your staff and speak to the rock. But he didn't do that. This is what he did. Instead of speaking to the rock, he took his staff and he did take his staff. Check, he obeyed God. He didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock instead with his staff. Numbers 20 verse 11, Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Then God told Moses to do something else. God said, go and speak to the rock. But he didn't. He did half of it. He struck the rock instead. But in Numbers 20 verse 11, water gushed out and the community and the livestock drank. See, Moses was told to do something. He didn't do it. God did a miracle. God still did a miracle. The people still got blessed. But there's a but, unfortunately, in verse 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them. You see, Moses half obeyed God. God said, take your staff, go to the rock, speak to it. He took his staff, he went to the rock, and he struck it. He did what he thought the best thing to do. Surely, last time, God, you struck me to strike it. I'm going to strike it again. My plan, my way or your way, my way, God. And so God did do a miracle. God did bless the people, but he only got half the blessing. Do you see that this morning? And that's something really for us to learn, is that actually God wants us to fully obey him. It's not a kind of negotiated settlement where God says, do this. I say, do that. And we kind of negotiate somewhere to get a kind of bartering in the middle. Actually, God is God. And when God is asking us to do something, my role is to say, God, with your help, with your grace, would you help me to do that? Fourth aspect of obedience is God is kind. God is so kind. If we mess up, if we at first say no to God through my frailty, through my disobedience, through my hard heart, through my sin, often God's so kind and gives us another chance. Look at the life of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. God had a very specific job for Jonah to do. Jonah, you're my preacher, pack your bags, go to Jonah and tell them the message I want you to tell them. Jonah thought, not me. I'm not going to those Assyrians in Nineveh, the last place. And so he did 180, went totally the wrong way, ran away from God. Do you know what? God could have said, well, okay, Jonah, fair enough. I've asked you. You said no. I'm going to find me another prophet. I'll find me another preacher. There's another preacher over there. I'll use that person instead. God was so kind. God was so kind to Jonah. God let him go, but then God gave him another chance. And God gave him another chance by sending a storm and a big fish. And the storm and the big fish kind of humbled Jonah, pinned him down, and then when he was pinned down and time to think, he had those 3 days to think about it, he kind of reflects and thought, do you know what? I think I'm going to go God's way. And do you know what? I want to say this lovingly today to us, that some of the storms, not all the storms, but some of the storms that we face in our life are actually the kindness of God. Where we've said no to God, and rather than God say, oh, fair enough, you want to go your own way, you want to head down Disaster Alley, that's up to you. Rather than God just let us wallow in our own destruction and our own choices, actually God in his kindness sends a storm and a big fish to stop us so that we would say, God, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go your way. I'm going to do what you want me to. And of course, that's what happened to Jonah. In the mercy of God, he decided to turn around and do what God asked. And God did a mighty miracle. God did a mighty miracle in Nineveh. That godless place, that city where they didn't worship the true and living God. They repented. They turned completely around as a result of him doing what God told him to do in the first place. The last aspect of obedience is looking at Jesus, who's our example of obedience. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us about Jesus' life. It's a commentary by the writer of the Hebrews telling us about the person of Jesus. And this is a quote from the Old Testament, but it's announcing Jesus. Jesus is announcing his purpose in his life. In Hebrews 10 and verse 5, Jesus said this to his Father. He said, here I am. This is Jesus, incarnate God, God, the Son of God. He said, here I am. I have come. This is the reason I've come to earth, is to do, Father, your will. That's why I'm here. The reason I'm here, and as an inspiration for me, as an inspiration for us, this is in a sense our kind of motto, our kind of tagline, our kind of thing for our life is, God, here I am, I've come to do your will. And Jesus was there. In fact, Jesus said, I only do. What an amazing thing. Jesus said, I only do what I see God doing. I only do what my Heavenly Father, I don't do anything else. I don't have my own bright ideas. I completely submit. I completely get in line with. I completely go along with the things that God has, that his Father has for his life. What a thing. Heavenly Father, could we say that? Could that be for my life, our life? Here I am, Lord. I've come to do your will. That's why I'm here on planet Earth. We also see in Jesus something in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we see something in his human frailty, where he was, as he was praying, as he was about to be arrested, as he was about to go down the path of suffering, he said this amazing thing in Luke 22. He said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. It was a cup of suffering about where he was heading. Yet not my will. He was talking about his natural human recoil from the horror of suffering, but your will, what you want, but yours be done. And Jesus chose his Father's path because he knew it was the right path. It was the path that was for him. And in one sense, it does illustrate the fact that for us, there will be choices that are not easy. Not all the choices that God faces with us are easy ones. Sometimes they are tough. There's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, struggling as he's there in his humanity and his divinity. There he was. He never sinned, but he chose God's way. He never sinned, but there was a conflict. My will, God, your will. And so I want us to see that part of our human condition is there are times where I find it hard. And there are times where you're going to find it hard, if you haven't already. When God says, this is the plan, this is the way, this is the door, this is the way I want you to go. That's the door I want you to open. That's the path I have for you. And yet it's not easy. We can be inspired from Jesus. There was a time for Jesus when he had that choice. And yet he chose perfect obedience perfectly. For many years now, Burger King have had a slogan, have it your way. If you go into Burger King, you can have your burger done just as you like. You can have it rare or medium or well done, whatever. I like my burger done well with an avocado on top with some bacon and a bit of relish. This time of the day, it's mean talking about food, isn't it? Everyone's going, oh, yeah. But have it your way is great for burgers, but it's not good when it comes to choices for my life. Have it your way isn't a great choice. Have it my way isn't a great choice. I came across a diagram that a girl she was blogging, I think, on the internet, and she penned this about her life. It's a lovely little thing. Her plan, okay, God hears me now. There's the finish line. I would just really like just to life to be smooth and to be easy. And we could just, you know, do this thing together. And that would be great, God. How about it? And she felt actually God had showed her there were going to be obstacles. There were going to be challenges. There were going to be opportunities as well. And I think that's what I want us to leave us with this morning is actually when we're in our minds, I would like, God, please, could I have a smooth passage through my life? It would be really nice, please. Actually, God says, for your benefit and for the blessing that's going to come to your life and through your life, there is going to be some challenges, but there's going to be some opportunities. And there's going to be some things that are not you've not seen yet, but they're going to be things that are part of God's plan. I wanted to finish with a little testimony of how I've struggled in obedience, which I hope will be helpful to you. A number of years ago, in fact, to my shame and embarrassment this morning, many years ago, God spoke to me about a very specific issue in my life. And I heard God speak to me about it. And I didn't kind of want to do what God was asking me to do. It was something God wanted me to change in my life. And I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so rather than do what God says willingly and promptly, I tried different ways of getting out of what God wanted me to do. I'm just being honest and humble. You think, oh, you pathetic person. But no, actually, just being honest. Okay, honest this morning. My first strategy was I tried to justify why it wasn't a good idea to do what God wanted me to do. And so, like making a list of things that, well, God, actually, have you thought about this issue and that and that and that? And God, it's not a big deal. Surely there's bigger issues in my life. Surely this isn't an important... I even looked at the Bible to try and find verses to justify. Sorry, so terrible, isn't it? As to why I shouldn't do what God wants me to do. And you know what? It didn't work. God didn't change his mind. God didn't go, oh, thanks for pointing that out, Paul. That never occurred to me. God didn't. He just said, okay, just are you going to do what I've asked you to do? Secondly, I tried putting my fingers in my ears. My spiritual ears, that is. I tried putting so that I was kind of drown out what God was saying. I tried to change the subject with God. God, can we talk about something else and not this particular thing? God, could we talk about it later? Not now, but could we talk about a different time? I tried delaying tactics. Didn't work. God kind of stuck to his guns. And God kind of kept bringing me back to the issue. Finally, over the past few months, I thought, wow, God, if I've held out this long, are you going to change your mind? Do you know what? No, he doesn't. You can't hold out God. He isn't going to change his mind. Just recently, over the last... weeks, months, I've been through some personal challenges in my life which have humbled me. And you know what? I've decided, God, okay, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. After all these years, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. It's no big deal. It's not a big issue. But because I've done what God's asked me to do, I believe it's opened a blessing, a doorway of blessing in my life. I'm sorry it's taken so long. And my prayer for you is that it won't take so long. That if God's asking you to do something, that you get on with it. Because I want my appeal to you this morning is, it comes down to trust. Look, this whole thing of obedience, it comes down to, will you trust God? Will you say, okay, God, you are God, I'm not. And so with your help, with your grace, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. My final quote is from a German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He died for his faith in Jesus. Let's put the slide up, please. So what he said. He died for his faith in Jesus. And one of the things he said in his life, one act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. You could listen to many talks. You think, well, Paul did his best this morning. Let's go back on the internet, see if we can find a better talk on obedience. And you could listen to 100 different talks on obedience. But actually, that's not going to really bite the bullet. It's not going to really be the thing. Because actually, you obeying God is all that's going to count. And so what it comes down to is, I'm not twisting your arm. I'm not threatening you this time today. I'm simply appealing to all of us here, is God is a God who speaks. And if you know he said something, if you're not sure he said something, Pray about it. Ask for God to confirm it. Ask for God to show you clearly. God's not a God of confusion. God is not a God who confuses us. If you think, well, I'm not sure God could say this, God's saying this. So God's, if you're not sure, get sure. Get from God what he's saying. Read the scriptures. Talk to people you trust. Pray. Ask God to clarify. Believe me, God wants us to hear him. God wants us to hear him. If you know God's saying something, and you feel this morning, God, that's just such a big thing. I just can't even. And at least come to God this morning and saying, God, would you please help me? Would you please change my heart? Would you please give me the courage? Would you please help me to come to a place where I would say yes, yes to you? Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes this morning. The picture as I'm praying this morning is of a pinball machine, which is one of those machines that you don't see many days around these days, but where there's a little ball that gets bounced from bumper to bumper inside the machine. And it gets bumped this way and that way and this way and that way. And actually, it just looks random. And for some of us this morning, maybe one or two of us, we feel like our lives, just we've been bumped and pushed this way and that way. Do you know what? God has a perfect plan in your life. And it's not random. It's made out of love for you. It's made out of perfect love for the best in your life. Lovely thing in the Psalms, Psalm 139, it says the wonderful thing where God says that he's got a book and he's written beforehand. Before you were born, every day of your life is written in his book. Plans. Beautiful, beautiful plans for your life. You're not going to know those plans if you don't come to God and say, God, would you show me? Would you lead me? Would you give me the courage to walk down the path you have for me? Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. I just feel this morning it would be great to pray. I'm not going to ask you anything personal. No one's going to ask you any personal questions. It's just between you and God. So no one's going to embarrass you. I just want to reassure you this morning that we're not into putting anyone on the spot. But if you feel this morning just that sense of, God, I need courage to do what you're asking me to do, would you just stand up and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to tell us what it is. It's between you and God. But if you just sense, God, I need courage. Courage from you. To go your way, to do what you're asking me to do. Would you stand with me? That I would just pray for you. Pray that God would be with you and help you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, we stand this morning. Lord, we stand this morning as your people, as your children. And Lord, forgive me for taking so long, Lord, to do what you asked me to. And Lord, I'm weak and I need your help. And this morning, we as your people, we are just, Lord, this dust that we read about in Scripture. But we need your help. And so I'm asking today, would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit? Come by the power of your Holy Spirit, and would you strengthen us? Would you help us? Give us, impart to us the courage that we need to step out and do the things that you're asking us to do. Lord, we haven't got in us the kind of resources, but Lord, you're a miracle-working God, and you have got in you the grace to impart to us. So today, would you impart grace to our lives? Would you just deposit it in our spirits, in our will, in our mind, in our hearts and our emotions? Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord. If you're standing today, just open your heart to Jesus and receive by faith. so many of Paul's letters start with this phrase, grace to you from God and from Jesus. Letter after letter starts with that blessing, because Paul knows we're going to need his grace. And God's grace is ability to do what we can't do. So let's just receive what Paul was saying in those letters. From heaven, from God, from Jesus, we receive grace to do what we can't do. Oh God. I just got a picture that you're like being filled up, like when you go to a car, to a petrol station, you put the pump in, it fills it with fuel. And God is filling you today. As you stand before him, he is filling you with his supernatural fuel, with his grace. He's filling you. And just like at the petrol station, you don't actually see the petrol. You just press the hose and hope it goes in. Maybe hear a few gurgles, but it goes in. And today, by faith, we are receiving in our spirits, in our hearts, this grace, this equipping. Lord, seal that in our hearts, we pray, as we're stood before you. Seal it in our hearts. God, would it help us go from this place? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I just get a sense of the compassion of Jesus, that Jesus isn't in any sense today here in a harsh way to tell me off for not following him, but he's here with compassion. He understands. He was tempted in every way. He experienced that struggle. So he has been through and knows, and he's here with his arm around you today, that compassion. Oh, that compassion of Jesus for you today. Lord, today would you set our feet on your path? Would you help us to see the door that stands before us and give us the courage to grasp the door and go through it? Would everyone stand? Would everyone, if you're able to stand this morning, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me? And let's together, this issue of obedience is relevant to every single one of us here today. Let's open our hearts and receive fresh from Jesus what he has for us. Let's worship him. Jesus, be the center. Be the center of my life.
I would like to start this morning's service by reminding us the story of a young man called David. David one day went to the battlefront. His purpose was to feed his brothers. On getting to the battlefield, there was a giant that threatened the entire armies of Israel. And the king said, "Is there any man in the camp of Israel that will stand on God's side and defeat this giant? Is there any man?" And everyone was troubled, because the story about Goliath was that he was a man of battle. He's been a warrior from the day of his youth. So everyone was scared of him. But this young man came to the king. He said, "I will fight him and I will defeat him." And everyone was shocked. How can such a small boy come against this man that have a history of war? But David said to Goliath, "You come with me, you come to me rather, with spears, with shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel." In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus said, "To man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible." Let's stand upon our feet. Let's just appreciate God in our heart. Thank you because we know with you nothing is impossible. That we can connect help through you. No matter how big our troubles are, that we have a God that is beyond it, that is above it. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for such a life as this. Thank you for such a time as this. Thank you, though the world may come against us with shields and spears, but we thank you because you're with us. We thank you because you are in us. And through you, we overcome all things. In Jesus' name, let us worship. Because you're good. Because you're sweet. Because you are reassuring. Because you are a healer. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. Amen. It's offering time. Please, if you are visiting for the first time, there is no obligation to give. But if you are worshiping here, this is the giving is a part of our worship. And we'll encourage you to do so. The song we are going to sing next is from some part of Africa. I think it's South Africa. And it's called Bambalela. And it simply means, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Let's stand up on our feet now as we celebrate the love of Christ in our lives. Amen. Holding on to him.
As you're... Yeah, it's hopeless really, isn't it? I know that some people this morning didn't get a newsletter... and so we'll stick them at the back, just on the information sheet, so you can grab one if you want to. Just before Paul gives the notices, our very own Sabrina wanted to give a short word of thanksgiving for her experience this week. I'm sure we've all got many experiences this morning of God's kindness, and Sabrina's going to share how good God was to her in the test that she was taking.
So I study maths at college and I'm hopeless. And I done it last year and I was so close. And this year I done it on Thursday and I was panicking so much that I had my own room. And you never know what is going to come up in these tests. And to be fair, I didn't have a clue. And I was praying. I was revising so hard. And literally, all the questions is how I need to answer them. And I was just like, the first question I was like, and all the other questions, I was thinking, how on earth are these questions I know how to answer? I thought they'd be complicated. They weren't complicated, you know. And I was like, praise God, right? Because, you know, for any situation you're in, just keep praying and keep, like, persevering through. Because God knows, and he's helped me, so he can help you too.
Thank you. Yeah. God is fantastic. We've all felt a bit hopeless. The Bible app for this morning, for those that use the Bible app, was God is near to the hopeless. Isn't that good?
Great. Now, it's birthday time today. It's fantastic as a church family to be able to celebrate. It's good to celebrate, isn't it? It's great to be able to celebrate. And so let's welcome Maureen. Maureen, come on down. It's her birthday. And we've got Letty. Letty, come on down too. And Veronica, come on down. And who? Is it Denzel's birthday too? Denzel, come on down. Anyone else has got a birthday? Shemo, it's your birthday. Come on down. Fantastic. Wow. Fantastic. Now, listen, we're going to ask each person how old they are. No, I was only joking. Fantastic. That's so fantastic. So, we're going to sing Happy Birthday. And we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Let's sing Happy Birthday just to them all. Because we're not going to make it, are we, really, basically. Some cakes are coming. Here we go. Happy Birthday to you.
Happy Birthday to you.
Big blow. Oh, come on. Let's go for it. Come on, Shemo. Come on, give it a hand. Great. Let's stretch out a hand of blessing towards them, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are the God that made us And we celebrate, Lord, the years that these folks have had with you. And we pray for this year ahead. Lord, that you would bless them, that you protect them, that you provide for them, that you'd be with them, and that today would be an extra special day in your presence. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give them a big warm round. Thank you very much. Go and grab yourself a seat. Now, it's exam season, and we're really wanting to stand with the people doing GCSEs, A-levels, other people doing exams. And so I've asked Anita to come on down. Anita's got it on her heart to pray for those doing exams. So let's pray this for those who are about to, or have started, or are starting, particularly GCSEs now have just started. So let's just pray now for them.
Father, Lord God, we thank you for such a time like this to commit our godly seeds into your hands. Father, Lord God, we thank you even as they study. We thank you for a retentive memory. We thank you for an increase of the spirit of excellence upon them. We say they shall excel far above their contemporaries in the name of Jesus. Yes, concerning them, it shall be good news in Jesus' name. Yes, and concerning their choices of universities, they shall meet their grace. They shall surpass the mark. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we've prayed in the matchless name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Fantastic. We got just a reminder that next Sunday is a special Sunday, and we're going to share lunch together here after the meeting. So next Sunday, please bring some food to share. Either bring a main course or bring a dessert. Bring some food to share so that after the meeting next week, we can enjoy here in this hall, enjoy some lunch together. Michelle.
Hi, it's May. So we have a new verse. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. Now, it's quite quick and short, Philippians 1 verse 6. But it does show us God saved us and God will complete his work in us. So it's not about us, our good works. I mean, I guess we have to obey God and follow God and blah, blah, blah. But he is behind our success and he wants us to succeed. So, and we can thank him for that.
Fantastic. Just finally, in a month's time, so the weekend 9th and 10th of June, we're working together with Chalk Farm Baptist Church, working together with St Luke's Kentish Town, working together with Revelation Church, four churches working together for this weekend of festival. It's an arts festival that we put on, the four churches, to bless and to reach out and to touch the many, many people who aren't Christians here in this place. We live in one of the most densely populated parts of London. And here's such an opportunity. And this is the fifth or sixth year now we've run this. And it's such a great time. On the Saturday, all throughout the Saturday daytime, there's opportunity to do different things where we up and down Kentish Town High Street, not far from here, we'll be doing all kinds of activities. And the details are in the information sheet. Over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about those. Opportunity to give a couple of hours on the Saturday to touch the lives of people who aren't Christians in a wonderful, wonderful way. So many testimonies of how God has worked in previous years. So we're looking forward to a great time. On the Sunday, we're going to be meeting together with four churches. So there'll be four churches getting together to celebrate and be together and enjoy what we hope is a day like today, a lovely sunny day. Just finally a reminder about Carity Wood. Carity Wood taking bookings for Carity Wood and sponsorship. If you'd like to sponsor a child for Carity Wood, it's our children's camp, then please see Joe. Bookings are now being taken, so if you're a child, teenager, adult helper, now's the time to see Joe about booking into Carity Wood. Children, young people, babies, preschool, head through the door over there. Now's the time to make a move. Everyone else is a 1-minute comfort break whilst the children just head out through the door.